Well, good morning.
Hello.
Did we have a time change that I wasn't aware of this morning? You know, it's interesting as we gather together, sometimes we have these great crowds. I looked out here yesterday with as we embraced the family, as Clem had been called home to glory and there wasn't a seat to be had. What a legacy that was for Clem. And if the family is watching today, God's peace be with you. So if you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, a special welcome to you and welcome to all of you online this morning. So as we gather together to hear God's word, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank and we praise you once again for continuing to bless us with the gifts of those incredible servants that you have introduced us to through your word. Today, Lord, just help us to remove all of those obstructions, all of those obstacles in our life that prevent us from coming to you, and just draw us closer to you through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, here we are. We're going through our post-Christmas events. Last week, we had the great opportunity to meet with Simeon and Anna and saw the great dedication that they had. This week, we are introduced to three more very interesting characters. But before we get into the actual story of these wise men, as we call them, these magi that came from a land far away, they come to worship God, worship this Christ child, which immediately brings up this question: what does it really mean to worship God? I mean, what does that really mean? And I guess the secondary question is, do we even do it correctly? Question that theologians have been asking for a long time. But when you think about worship, excuse the air quotes, what images or perhaps what church traditions go through your mind when you think of worship? Well, surely prayer and singing and preaching, communion, holy sacraments are probably some of the most common elements of our modern day worship. But what about when some of these elements don't go as planned or don't go the way we wish they would? Because one of the aspects of worship is one of them that you probably have never even thought of in the past. And they are things that, well, prevent us from worshiping God, and that is called obstacles. The title of our message today, obstacles. So as we look at our gospel reading today, perhaps we can look at our reading today from maybe a different perspective, because today we're going to look at those three famous characters of Scripture, called the wise men or the magi. We see today in Matthew's gospel, and if you've brought your Bible, please open up to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to pick it up at verses 1 through 12. We'll put most of them on the screen, but if you brought your Bible, feel free to open it up. As we continue to kind of look at these post-Christmas events of the early life of Jesus, and we see this morning, after I turn this on, our gospel. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" That's important right there. King of the Jews. "For we saw a star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, these wise men, or these magi, as we call them, experienced an unbelievable amount of obstacles to get to this point. Because their goal ultimately was, in fact, to worship the Messiah, because they have studied the prophecies of what we call the Old Testament, and they have read all about this King of the Jews, this Messiah that was going to be born. And it was ultimately their goal to come and worship him, just as it is our goal when we come here to worship this King. Because they brought their offerings just as we bring our offerings. They bowed their head in prayer just as we bow our heads in prayer. But there was something else that the Magi experienced. Again, it's that aspect of worship that is rarely, if ever, even talked about or even thought about. That is overcoming these obstacles that we face to worship Jesus. The Magi in our text in Matthew today, I don't know if you know much about these guys, they were highly educated men. They were very wealthy. They were students of astronomy. They studied the stars. They knew the skies. They knew what these stars were. And they knew when there was something that was out of place. That's why God, in his infinite wisdom, chose this symbol for these men to follow. They lived somewhere east of Israel, perhaps Iran or Persia, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. We don't really know exactly where they come from, but somehow they knew that the Messiah, the Christ, was soon to be born. So one day, God caused this special light to glow in the sky. It appeared to them, we call it the Christmas star or the Bethlehem star. And those men studied this star. They realized that this was something unique. This is something that signified an incredible event. So God revealed to them that this was a sign that the Christ child was to be born. The men were thrilled. So, moved by the Holy Spirit, they decided to travel all the way to Israel to see the Christ, the Messiah, with their own eyes. Now, because of the story we hear of the three gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, traditionally, we always think that there was just three wise men, right? Yeah, well, I don't want to pour cold water on your nativity scenes out in the front of your house or your Christmas cards, but in reality, we don't know if there was three men or if there was 300 men. We don't know, but it doesn't matter how many there were, because we do know that God had moved men to come to see the Christ. So these men, a lot of theologians, by the way, say they were three separate tribes that come together. There's a whole bunch of different things, but the interesting number is the three. They packed up their camels, all of their servants, and these large entourage headed west toward the star because they wanted to worship the King of Kings. But they, just like us today, faced many obstacles, those things, I guess, that prevent us, those things that hinder us from worship. And many of those obstacles, to be honest with you, we don't even know about, or we don't even recognize them as being an obstacle. There's so many things that try to trip us up to come here. So let's look at some of these obstacles that they faced, and we'll see, strangely enough, so many parallels with our lives today. So let's look at the very first obstacle they had to deal with, and it was distance. Now, clearly, these guys didn't live right next door to Bethlehem. This was going to be a long trip. And there was no freeways for them to take. There was no rest areas. There was no McDonald's they can stop and grab a burger along the way. This is going to be a hard trip. The trip was going to be expensive, and it was going to be time-consuming because of the great distance. They would have had to put forth a lot of time and a lot of effort to overcome the obstacle of distance. But for these men, these magi, it was worth it. The fact is, distance is an obstacle for many people sitting in this very room today. It's an obstacle for many of the people that are sitting online today. Because the distance to get here is often a huge obstacle for them to come and worship. But when you think about the distance that these wise men had to travel to worship Christ, our commute, for the most part, really doesn't seem that bad, does it? No. So let's look at the second obstacle that they had to contend with. Unbelief. Think about this one. This is that, I call it the quiet killer. Because there's so many people in our lives. How many of you have heard this on that nice sunny 75 degree? Honey, I think I'm going to go play golf today. But you're the pastor. You got to go to church. No, it's just all right. Or you're pulling out of the driveway and your neighbor's going, where are you going today? I'm going to church. Well, didn't you go to church last week? Yeah. And I remember growing up, this is a little side note, but I felt so sorry for my best friend growing up. He was a Baptist. He had to go to church 3 times a week. Poor kid. Yeah. Unbelief. It really, like I say, it's a quiet killer. But when they arrived in Jerusalem, this is the thing about unbelief. No one seemed to care that Jesus was born. No one, even the king, they went and visited the king, Herod. He didn't have a clue. Of course, he didn't study scripture, didn't have any idea but the prophecies. In fact, the Bible tells us that he was actually upset about the news, as was all of Jerusalem, all of the church guys, the Jewish chief priests, the teachers of the law. They were there, and they knew what the Bible said. They knew that about the coming of the Messiah, that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. But you could see that they just didn't believe that Jesus was him. Now, you would think, logic would dictate, that the wise men would have been discouraged by all of this unbelief. Said, you know, forget this, let's go back. But they kept going, and they traveled to Bethlehem as they sought to worship the Christ. Yet it was there that they encountered the next obstacle, the obstacle of loneliness. Now, this is not typically a word that we use in our everyday language. So loneliness, I actually Googled Webster to see what the definition of this word is. Number one, Webster says, having a low rank or a low position, a low standing in society, being humble or meek in manner, being plain or prosaic in nature. Bethlehem was a lowly place. It was small. It was dirty. It was poor. It was on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem. So when the Magi come and saw Mary and Joseph for the first time, I'm sure that it was obvious to them that when they saw Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby, that this was not royalty. This was not a typical king, let alone the King of Kings. Because this King of the Jews was just an ordinary baby. It was nothing special. There was no pageantry. There were no royal guards standing out in front of his house protecting him. So as they approach this house, the term anticlimactic kind of comes to mind. That is, until they saw him. So let's just recap real quick. Up to this point, we see obstacles of distance, unbelief, and lowliness. One would think that this might have discouraged these guys from finishing this trip. However, what we heard in our readings, as soon as they saw him, they were overtaken by joy. When they saw the star stop over his house, they were overjoyed, and they went directly into the house, and they bowed down and worshiped this king, thus fulfilling the prophecy in the Psalms that all the kings would come and bow down before him, Psalm 72. See, friends, they pushed every one of these obstacles aside so they could worship Jesus. And that finally takes us to our fourth obstacle. Meekness. Yeah. Meekness. The meekness of Jesus himself, this baby in the manger. And you're probably wondering, is meekness really, can this be an obstacle to our worship today? Yes, it can. And here's the irony, because so many people today, after they travel to a church, they overcome all the unbelief around them. It's raining, it's snowing, they get in the church, they finally get into the church, and here's where they find the Christ. But for so many people, he's so plain. In fact, you can't even really see him per se. Sure, there's symbols, there's Bibles, there's candles, there's communion trays, there's bread and wine. But for many people today, they want glitz and glamour. They want this big production. They want to see the Times Square New Year's Eve ball drop every Sunday with special effects, Dolby surround sound. But friends, Jesus doesn't come to us that way. In fact, he is simple and he is humble, but yet he is consistent. He comes to us through his word, through his sacraments. The writer of Hebrews says he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Yesterday, the Old Testament. Today, the New Testament. Tomorrow, all eternity. He is the same. So, as we stop and we look at the obstacles in our own lives, as we see many of the same things that they experience also hinder us, those are the things that prevent us from coming to this worship center and seeing Jesus clearly. We must fight them off every day. We must, yeah, we got the normal ones. We got the distance. We got the unbelief, the lowliness, and the meekness. But what about the more modern day obstacles, the real life issues that we face? Perhaps for somebody here today or online, you're dealing with the obstacle of guilt, shame. How about some past sins, a lifestyle, things that God has forgiven you for, but you just can't forgive yourself for? These are obstacles. How about substance abuse, drugs, alcohol, pick it, doesn't matter. And here's a big one. How about self-reliance? I don't need God. I can do this myself. Broken or strained relationships. Depression, anxiety. You fill in the blank. There are obstacles that are holding us back every day. Obstacles we face even here in the church. Things that may hinder you right here in this beautiful sanctuary. I didn't like that song. It's too hot. It's too cold. Sermon's way too long. That's a common one, yeah. I prefer traditional service. Well, I prefer contemporary service. As we reflect on these things, we cannot help but feel guilty about these things that we have opinions about, preferences for. So what happens? We pull farther away from God, and up comes another obstacle. We may even think or say to ourselves, I just want worship to be easy. Well, newsflash for you, worship is not always easy. Because there are always going to be obstacles in our lives. There are always going to be things that get in our way. But hang on. Before you invite the rest of your friends to your pity party, there's somebody that actually experienced this too. Think about the obstacles that Jesus went through for you. Look at that first Christmas. Talk about distance. He traveled from heaven to earth. He went from glory to poverty. He went from all power to an innocent little baby. Then when you think of distance, think of all the places Jesus, and he didn't take an Uber to Capernaum and Caesarea Philippi. He walked. When you think about unbelief, while he was here, very few believed him. In fact, even one of his best friends betrayed him. When you think about loneliness, Jesus didn't shy away from that either. In fact, he lowered himself even more down to the level of public humiliation, being beaten, then finally hung on a cross. And on that cross, there he experienced a loneliness that you and I, by God's grace, will never have to feel. And he went through all of this so he could tell you this morning, I forgive you. I love you. Welcome to my family. This is why, friends, when we look at those obstacles in our lives, we must do everything in our power to push them aside. Because you and I are, frankly, modern-day magi. We are traveling, we are experiencing distance, unbelief, loneliness, and meekness every single day to come here. And whether we worship here, we worship online, sitting behind our wheel of our car, we experience obstacles. But we do it because we know Jesus is worth it. So friends, what is our number one takeaway today? Overcoming obstacles for Jesus. My prayer for 2025, for each and every one of us, and for all of you online, is that we will not only recognize these issues as being an obstacle, but we will say, no thank you, because Jesus, you're more important. Lord, bring us to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. Lord, there are so many obstacles in our lives. There are so many things that seem to prevent us from coming to you. Lord, so often we don't even realize that. But we come to you right now. We pray right now, Heavenly Father, help us to remove the obstacles of worship. Let us not only recognize these as obstacles, but help us, encourage us, give us the strength. to push them aside. Let us be with each other. Let us walk side by side. Lock arms. Let us together come to the cross and worship the King of Kings. Amen.